truth with a Bible in one hand
and an American flag in the other.
University Broadcast Studio. It's Todd Starnes.
That's right, and this is Starnes Country. Starnes Country is Liberty University country, and we love our friends over at Liberty University, one of the most important institutions of higher learning in the world, quite frankly. And we're going to get to the newsmaker line here in just one quick second, but want to say welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Welcome to all of our brand new listeners on KWAM in Memphis, Tennessee. And folks, I just got an email from our affiliate relations team, and we have some very exciting news. Those of you in the Little Rock, Arkansas area, Waterloo, Iowa, and the northern suburbs of Los Angeles, we've got some exciting news coming for you next week. We'll be able to make that announcement on the show Monday, so you're going to want to be sure to tune in to the radio program on Monday for some exciting news as we continue to grow this radio program. All right, I want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker Line, the president of Liberty University, Jerry Falwell Jr. Dr. Falwell, we just set a record for how many times we could say Liberty University in 60 seconds.
Well, we appreciate it. We're honored to be working with you, Todd.
You know, a couple of things. We've been talking a lot about the work of the Falkirk Center, and it reminded me of something that happened just a couple of days ago. Young America's Foundation released this crazy video from the University of Virginia, not too far away from you guys, where they had a multicultural student center. I want to play this audio. This is a black student sending a message to all the white youngsters who were actually in the room. Let's take a listen to that.
If y'all didn't know, this is the MSC, and frankly, there's just too many white people in here, and this is a space for people of color. So just be really cognizant of the space that you're taking up, because it does make some of us POCs uncomfortable when we see too many white people in here. It's only been open for 4 days, and frankly, there's the whole university for a lot of y'all to be at, and there's very few spaces for us. So keep that in mind. Thank you.
You know, it's kind of shocking to hear something like that, Dr. Falwell, but my understanding is this happens a lot on these university campuses across the country.
Well, you know, it doesn't surprise me. It should surprise me, because I spent my whole childhood listening to or watching people struggle to end segregation. And, you know, it seems like now the left is trying to bring it back, and it makes no sense to me. But the reason I say it's really not surprising is because it was always Democrats who supported segregation, who supported Jim Crow laws before that, who supported slavery. And so it's the same group. It's just a different way of delivering their message now. And it's sad, because I just think we should look at each other. We're all just people, and we're all, you know, we're all created equal and endowed by a creator with rights that our government is here to protect. And why can't we just drop all the identity politics and stop, you know, putting everybody in a category, racial or gender or whatever, and let's just all be human beings and forget about all that stuff. It seems like it's convenient, because it's a way that the left garners power if they can divide people and create these categories and identity politics, and I think it's all a scam.
Well, yeah, I'm with you on that, Dr. Falwell, and which again is why it's so important that we have schools like Liberty University out there, because you guys just don't put up with that nonsense, and we appreciate that.
Well, the tape you played is a perfect example of why Liberty University is prospering so much, because we're the exception to the rule. And parents and students are looking for a place where they don't have to hear all that nonsense. And so it's the number one reason that Liberty has done so well in the last 10, 12, 13, 14 years, is because we offer an alternative.
I was watching you on Fox News Channel the other day. You were talking about this story from the Associated Press reporting that the feds are investigating Ivy League schools like Harvard and Yale over unreported foreign funding. How big of a deal is this? How big of a story is this in the academic community?
Well, it's the the part that is curious is why they didn't report it. The only rule they broke, from what I could tell, was they failed to report it, and the law requires it not be reported, but it was at least $6.5 billion. But what also was interesting is the countries it came from, Iran, Saudi Arabia, China, Russia, all countries that do not have America's best interests at heart, and I frankly don't think Ivy League leadership has America's best interests at heart either. I think they're part of the Blame America First crowd. I think they hate this country. They hate what it stands for, what it was built on, the values that it was built on. And so it's not surprising that they're in league with our enemies. But at what point does it become treason is my question.
That's a good question. And when I saw the Iranian money, you know, I immediately thought about the rise of anti-Semitism on many of these university campuses. You have to wonder if there's got to be some sort of a correlation or connection there.
Yeah, the anti-Semitism is I talked earlier about how this trying to bring back segregation is coming from the left. Well, so is the new brand of anti-Semitism. When I was in law school, even, it was just so frowned upon for anybody to be anti-Semitic in any way. It was, you know, people talked about the Holocaust a lot, and they reminded each other often of what happened back in Nazi Germany, and now you don't hear that anymore. It's almost like it's being ignored, unless you watch the Discovery Channel or something, the mainstream media. You never hear them talk about the horrors of the Holocaust or what the Jewish people have, how they've been persecuted over the centuries. And just 30 years ago, it was a regular topic of conversation. So it just makes you wonder, you know, usually with authoritarianism comes anti-Semitism, and right behind that comes the persecution of Christians. And I think that's what we're seeing happening in America today.
Absolutely. You know, the other part of this conversation, and I, you know, Lou Dobbs, one of my favorites over there, over at Fox, some of the folks in the mainstream media went after you for pointing out that you guys at Liberty, you operate that like a business and you treat students like customers as if that is a bad thing. I think it's brilliant.
Oh, the Ivy League folks think they're too good to operate by regular business principles. They think somebody else should pay their bills. They think that it's beneath them to have to worry about petty things like money, and it's I just don't understand that type of thinking. It puts the burden on the taxpayers, on the donors, on the parents that are paying the tuition, on everybody except them to operate efficiently. We struggled for years at Liberty before the school became prosperous, and we learned how to operate frugally. And we found out that if you just treat others, we're talking about students now, like you want to be treated, it works well for a university just like it does for a business. But that's considered by the elites to be, I don't know how to say it, just it's just not prestigious enough for them. And so it's like beneath them to think they have to operate that way. And yeah. I don't know why anybody think it's a bad thing. I'm with you.
You know, Dr. Falwell, real quick before we let you go, earlier in the show, we had some folks on the program. They have just launched this Conservative Baptist Network. A lot of folks concerned about the direction of where, you know, the nation's largest non-Catholic denomination is going. And of course, you talk about, you know, roots, getting back to your roots, which is the whole point of the Falkirk Center, is understanding where you came from. Right. How important is an organization like that? I mean, they announced it this morning. Over 900 people have already signed up to be a part of this. What do you make of that?
I think there's other ones forming too. I was speaking to somebody. Liberty's not a Southern Baptist University. It had a loose affiliation with the Southern Baptist Convention when it was taken over by the conservatives in the late 80s. But it seems to have gone back the other direction now. And it seems to be a sort of a deep state. A deep state culture that's formed there. It's not the people that are sitting in the pews that have taken the denomination in the wrong direction. It's people who have never built anything, never made a payroll, never run a church, never built a church. people who just work in offices who are taking the denomination off to the left, and it's sad to see, but it's a lot of most Southern Baptist churches are really too small to pay their pastors a salary. Their pastors have to work in you know, regular job during the week, and so they really don't have the muscle to fight against what's happening over there. But there are other conservative movements that are forming in the Southern Baptist Convention to split off, and it I think the whole thing is disintegrating. It's sad to say, but people that I know who are very, very high up in the Southern Baptist Convention nationally say that it's the beginning of the end for that whole denomination, and it's sad to see, but it's happening, and it's because the same people that are talking Trump every day in the government, the deep state, the same thing is formed in that denomination, and probably others that I don't know anything about. But it's you know, I just hate to see it happen to what was once a great denomination.
Well, Dr. Falwell, we're going to have to leave it right there. I appreciate you coming on the show as always.
Yes, always. I'm honored to be with you, Tom. Thank you so much for your friendship with Liberty University.
Jerry Falwell Jr., ladies and gentlemen, president of Liberty University, looking for a place to, you know, for your kids to get an education. Maybe you want to go back and finish your degree. They have one of the best online degree programs in the world at Liberty University. And all you have to do, go to liberty.edu. All the information is there. Folks, we do have to take a break. We've got to pay some bills here. 844-747-8868. Toll-free number for freedom-loving patriots. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
America's only fair and balanced talk radio host, Todd Starnes.
Welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. I got to tell you, some of these Baptist folks out there, just mean-spirited people. Got an email from some guy named Seth Brown. He's the executive editor of the Biblical Recorder in North Carolina. Anybody of you guys know who this person is? A couple of days ago, we told you the story of this mom the mom called up and said her kid had been confronted over his MAGA hat that he was wearing on his Baptist seminary campus. And so we invited four of the seminary officials to come on the program to give us their side of the story to confirm or deny. They refused to do so. And so finally, they issued a statement. They said it did not happen. And then all of a sudden, they were able to identify the student. We never named the student. We never told you who that person was. But the seminary, which originally said, oh, this never happened. But then all of a sudden, it did happen, but they knew who the student was. And then they said that the student denied the allegations. Something, it smells to high heavens, but you know what? We're not going to get into the weeds. But I get this email from this guy, Seth Brown, the executive editor of the Biblical Recorder. And you can tell these journalism types. You can sniff them out. You kind of know when they're going for some sort of a hit piece. And so I'm going to read this to you. Good afternoon, Todd. I'm working on a story about the situation involving a caller to your show claiming her son was reprimanded by a staff member at Southeastern Seminary for wearing a MAGA hat. Okay, well, let me stop you there, pal. I didn't make any allegations. The woman called the show, said her son was confronted over the fact he was wearing a MAGA hat. We never said anything. I never said reprimanded. Let's continue. Southeastern released a statement denying the allegations. I also have a statement from the student denying the allegations. All right, well, fine. So what do you want me to do? Do you plan on issuing a follow-up statement or correction since her comments were not vetted? All right, Mr. Brown, you moron, sir. It's a radio show. People call in. Once people are on the air and they say their piece, they say their piece. We sent our reporting crew out to interview the people at Southeastern Seminary. They didn't want to talk to us. And that does make me very suspicious. Why is it they wouldn't want to talk to us? Why is it they wouldn't want to come on the program and explain their side of the story? Just want to throw that out there. Seth Brown, executive editor of the Biblical Recorder. What do you mean, do I plan on issuing a correction? What did we say that needed to be corrected? Do you have any additional comments about the situation? You know what, ladies and gentlemen, this is what gets me about these editors in the mainstream media. Fake news is fake news. It doesn't matter if it's a Baptist paper or if it's the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times. Fake news is fake news. So I'm wondering if this guy bothered. I'm in the process of responding to this guy, and I'm wondering if I should just respond to him, or is, you know, he's just going to write a nasty hit piece. These are all, you know, folks, I'm telling you, I would rather deal with politicians than some of these religious people, Pharisees. Did the guy even bother to listen to yesterday's program? Caleb, do you think the guy actually listened to what we said on the air yesterday?
I don't know, but I'm wondering what exactly we issued, because if I recall, the caller was the one making all the statements about what happened.
And what were we doing as she was making the allegations? What were we doing, Caleb?
You were asking questions the whole time.
That's right. I was poking and prodding. I was asking questions. We invited 4 different individuals from that seminary to come onto this radio program. And I told you yesterday that was all I'm going to say about it. But this has to be addressed. This has to be addressed. We invited 4 individuals to come onto this program. They all declined. And then one of them, the provost, turned around and smeared and slandered me on Twitter. And I don't care. If he wants to call me, he can call me whatever. He can't call me Rachel Maddow, which he did. That sort of set me off. He can call me whatever. You know, you want to call me names? Fine. Call me names. You know, it is what it is. We're used to that from the leftist. The leftists are the ones that are out there. They like to bully and badger people on Twitter. That's what they do. So I'm still trying to figure out if I should actually respond to this guy. Is it going to be more trouble than it's worth, is what I'm trying to get at. Because clearly this guy does not have the intellectual prowess to understand how talk radio works. Unbelievable, these people. So I'm formulating a list of questions here, and I'm wondering if he's going to do a story on that provost, that guy who is going out there claiming to be, you know, such a great holy person, turning around and smearing people on social media. But I just asked the guy, did you bother to listen to my program yesterday? If not, why don't you go back and listen to the radio show? These people are all snakes. That's, you know, it's really unfortunate. But, you know, I understand now why a lot of people will not go inside a church house. I really do. I don't think I really appreciated that or understood that until the past couple of weeks. But it's very clear to me now, ladies and gentlemen, why a lot of people will not want to set foot into a church house. And it's because of garbage like that. And that's, you know, ladies and gentlemen, very sad. It's really sad. 844-747-8868. What do you think? Should I respond to this guy or should I just let it go? 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stearns Show. To the Todd Stearns radio program. Happy Valentine's Day to you. Hope you're doing great wherever you might be across the fruited plain. 844-747-8868. It is a toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to go right now to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Good friend of this program from the great state of Georgia, Congressman Jody Heiss. Congressman, hope you're doing good today.
Doing great, Todd. Thank you. Always so look, good to be with you.
Likewise, thank you very much, sir. And I want to get right to this breaking news out of the nation's capital, where we understand the Justice Department is not going to charge, will not prosecute Andrew McCabe for lying to the FBI. At the same time, apparently, lying to Congress, on the other hand, gets you up to 9 years in federal prison.
Yeah, Todd, there is such a double standard And you look at what's happened to Roger Stone, and of course, he lied to Congress and was indicted for that, needs to pay the consequences for it. Of course, what they're trying to do is extremely excessive. But you look on the other hand, people like Andrew McCabe and Michael Cohen. Let's go back to Michael Cohen. I was there in the hearing when Michael Cohen lied to us in Congress in a hearing under oath. What happened to him for lying to Congress? Absolutely nothing. Nothing. Zero. The double standard is there. If you are a Trump supporter and you do something wrong, you're going to be in serious trouble to the full extent of the law and even beyond. But if you are I mean, let's face it, a Democratic supporter, then you can do virtually anything you want to do, and there will be no consequences at all. And what's happened today to Andrew McCabe, as well as Michael Cohen and others, is just testimony to that double standard reality.
You know, I would like to hear from the Attorney General here, because it's not like you have a Democrat running the Justice Department. So I'm just wondering what's going on there.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on. It's we do know that there's some bad actors over there. And fortunately, you know, we've got an investigation underway with Durham. And I believe John Durham, once his report comes out on the investigation, to be very honest with you, I would anticipate whenever that's going to be, weeks, months away. Certainly it will come out sometime before the election. I'm very sure of that. But regardless of when his investigative report comes out, I think, you know, we're going to see 99% of the people in the FBI with no problem whatsoever. But there are bad actors in the FBI and CIA and so forth. And I think Durham's investigative report is going to show that. And quite frankly, I would expect when it comes out, we're going to see some heads roll. There needs to be. There's corruption happening over there. And what's happened under Andrew McKay is yet another example of it.
I want to ask you about the rise in violence being directed at Trump supporters and Republicans in general. We have the van attack down in Florida. There was an incident in New Hampshire where a teenage boy was slapped, and you had another Trump supporter whose jaw was fractured. And then there was an attack on young college Republicans at the University of California, Santa Cruz. How concerned are you, Congressman, about this rise in violence?
Yeah, I'm extremely concerned about it, and I appreciate you bringing it up, because certainly the mainstream media in this nation is virtually totally silent on this thing. As you mentioned, I believe there were at least four different attacks last week alone. Can you just imagine, had any of these attacks happened, say, at a Bernie Sanders event, would the media be silent about it, or would that be all that we're hearing about right now? And we all know the answer to that. Again, the double standard is frightening. What's happening in this country to the extent that the media totally allows for there to be violent acts against Trump supporters. But if the tables were turned, there's no way they would be silent about it.
No, they wouldn't. And we've seen this time and time again. And that's what really angers me. I'm so glad Don Trump Jr. Wrote that op-ed calling out the mainstream media for the hypocrisy here, Congressman. And quite frankly, it's beyond time for the Democrats to tell these people to stand down and practice a little bit of civility and common sense.
Yeah, it's way past time. But to be very honest with you, I don't anticipate the Democrats doing that. You look at them already, there are many of them already calling for another impeachment against Donald Trump over this Roger Stone thing, which is absolute insanity. But look, they are not going to quit. They are so hate-filled. Literally, and I don't use that word lightly, the National Democratic Party is so hate-filled against this president that they will stop at nothing. And unfortunately, that type of attitude spills over to those who are activists within the Democrat Party, some of them at least, throughout the country. And these acts of violence, I don't expect will come to a conclusion, because the hatred in Washington is not going to come to an end anytime soon.
I want to circle back, though, to the Justice Department. We are waiting for the Durham investigation to wrap up. We don't know when that's going to be. I'm wondering if there I'm just trying to understand. And again, we're sort of operating in a vacuum here, Congressman, because, you know, the news just broke a couple of hours ago and we really don't know all the details. But I am wondering, should we be concerned about the Durham report? And what do you fear would happen if nobody gets charged for trying to overthrow a duly elected president?
Oh, I think that would be absolutely tragic. That would be indescribably tragic, because we have done enough investigation just in the House between the Oversight Committee and the Judiciary Committee. We have seen under testimony, we have heard the various testimonies, we have seen there's been classified information. We know that there have been, at least in my opinion, criminal behavior that's taken place that needs to be brought to justice. And, you know, we had enough of that even in the Horowitz report. I mean, Horowitz himself had a criminal referral to Andrew McCabe, who today is let off the hook. But just he had a criminal referral by an inspector general, and the Department of Justice did nothing about it. When we come to the Durham investigation, though, I think it would be totally tragic if nothing is done. But I personally don't think that's going to happen. The Durham investigation, he has broad authority. He has a broad scope that he is able to look at and to look into, to dive deeply. And he himself has the authority to prosecute, not just to give a criminal referral, but he has the authority himself to actually prosecute. So as he comes across criminal behavior, which I believe he will in the investigation that he is currently exercising, I believe he is going to come out of it with some actual prosecutions. And finally, we are going to be able to see some justice over behavior that should have seen justice years ago, quite frankly.
So Congressman, just to be clear, you still have confidence in Attorney General William Barr?
Oh, absolutely. I really do. Barr is he's doing a fine job. You know, he's got his plate full. There's no doubt. All of us look at it and we understand he's got a massive amount of work to do. And there is so much corruption that is being revealed. It's, you know, where do you start kind of a thing. But he is methodically, systematically moving forward on these things. I say hats off to him for putting John Durham over this investigation that we are all awaiting the results on. And he, as I said, Durham has tremendous authority and a great deal of open scope that he is allowed to dive into, and he has prosecuting authority. And so I think Barr is doing a very, very commendable job.
All right. Well, Congressman, we're going to have to leave it there. Lots of good stuff today. Really appreciate you calling in and weighing in on this.
Always good to talk to you, Todd. Thank you.
Congressman Jody Heiss from the great state of Georgia. Ladies and gentlemen, member of the House Freedom Caucus. And you're probably going to want to watch Fox News later tonight. Hopefully we will get some more info on what actually happened with the Justice Department and Andrew McCabe. Before we take a break, I want to get to the phone lines. Let's say hello to Janice calling from the great city of New Orleans. Hi, Janice. Happy Valentine's Day.
Hello, Todd. I just love your show so much. I wanted to call to wish you happy Valentine's Day. Wish you the best, my buddy. Now, here's the thing. With regard to what the gentleman was saying a moment ago, please do not hope. I mean, you can hope, but, I mean, it's a waste of time hoping these Democrats are going to grow a brain, because this is never going to happen. Yes, they're becoming vicious and vile. And, I mean, look, we all have, I always said this, Todd, we all have freedom of speech. But there's a line you don't cross. And when you are calling for violence toward a group of people or a particular individual, there should be consequences for that. And what Maxine Waters did when she said, you know, get them at a grocery store and a gas station, all
absolutely
this kind of stuff.
Harass them, yeah.
That was horrible. There should have been some sort of consequences for that, because, as I said, free speech is free speech, but there is a line with me that you don't cross, really. But it's not good. And another thing, I'm going to advise some people here to do, it's like, please listen to me, people. As I said, we all have freedom, but we also have to exercise common sense. Now, I know I could do it, but it wouldn't bode well. I know where I live. I know who I'm among. And I would not put on a mega hat or anything. My vote is my personal business. My father always said that's something between you, God, and the voting booth. You know, because with today's climate the way it is, yes, a crazy person could do you harm And I don't wish harm on anyone. And on that note, Todd, I'm going to let you go. And again, happy Valentine's Day to a wonderful man. Your show is always very entertaining and informative.
Janice, you are so very kind, and I hope you have a very happy Valentine's Day. Hope you get a lot of flowers and chocolates and whatever else you desire. Great lady right there. Janice from New Orleans. All right. I could use some chocolate right now. Hey, look, we've got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. Toll-free number 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
Folks, welcome back to the Todd Starnes radio program. Always an honor to have you hanging out with us today, and especially today, which is Valentine's Day. And hope you and your Valentine have a lovely night. I suspect it's going to be very busy in the restaurants, the diners here in Brooklyn, New York, where this show is based. And what was it, the Red Lobster? We were talking about this last week, Caleb. The Red Lobster, they're doing the heart-shaped biscuits.
Hey, they
Red Lobster.
They can shape them any way they want. I'm going to eat them.
Mm-hmm. As long as there's a whole lot of them. That's all I'm concerned about.
Just go ahead and start bringing the second basket. Just go ahead and start bringing it.
Exactly. Well, look, I want to go to the newsmaker line. We have a very special guest with us. This is a terrific Valentine's Day story. An incredible movement for ladies across America. The organization SheLovesOutLoud.org. SheLovesOutLoud.org. And the president of this group is on the line with us, Diane Strack. Hi, Diane. Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Hey, thank you. It's so good to be with you. Happy Valentine's to you as well.
All right. So you have a very nice website. I like the use of the color pink. It's very nice, very classy. Tell us about the ministry you guys have.
Oh, man, you caught me right in the middle of being at the studio and full on in production. We are absolutely so excited about this event that's coming tomorrow. We are saying to women across America, God loves you just as you are, but he loves you too much to leave you in your pain. He loves you too much to leave you the way you are. He has hope for you. He has healing for you. And so, you know, I watched the whole Angry Women's movement, and I watched the Me Too movement, and I wept with the pain those women were in, but I saw no healing, Todd, and the Lord spoke to me and said, that shall not be the last word the culture hears from women. And so he called me to share this message. He sees you, he hears you, and he loves you.
Well, that's a terrific message, and you're right. It seems as though the women's movement, if there's really even such a thing, it has sort of been co-opted by those on the left who have a very radical agenda. And that's why I really appreciate the incredible ministry that you you guys are doing for women across this country.
Well, you know, as they march and talk about abortion, what we're going to do is we're going to interview an abortion survivor and her adoptive mom and show the hope of the reality of a fetus as her botched abortion, and she is now alive and has a child of her own. And so those are the kind of messages that we have. We have a message of a couple where the husband was enslaved in pornography, which, you know, the culture tries to pass off as fairly normal now, and you sort of have to judge which rating you'll tolerate. But this gentleman's going to talk about seeing at the age of 8 years old and how it destroyed him and then destroyed their marriage. And now they've been back together longer than they've been divorced, and they're sharing hope. So these are the kind of issues we're going to just go straight into, right into what the culture says is okay. We know that when you walk against the plan of God, that there is pain, that there is not the life he meant for you, the wonderful, joyful plan that he had for you in the beginning.
So this event, and there's, folks, information about it, ladies, at SheLovesOutLoud.org. I see that you guys have just a tremendous lineup of folks, and this is tomorrow. There's a free live stream.
Yeah. And it's a free live stream. can see it a lot of places. So what I'm going to share with you now is if you go to sheloveoutloud.org/map and put in your zip code, you can find a live physical location near you. But if you're not able to find that, that you can watch us on a number of different platforms, and you can find those on our website under event plans and watch live. So we're everywhere. We're on probably 10, 12 platforms all over the world tomorrow, live streaming.
And this is terrific. So tomorrow, Diane, you're going to have women all across America gathered together in prayer.
Yes, we're praying for the next generation. We are praying for healing of families. We are praying for power against anxiety and depression that is taking over our nation. And we are praying in between each story, each wonderful story of transformation. And they are amazing stories. Even you're going to want to listen to them. They're so good. These stories of transformed lives that in between we'll be taking scriptures and praying through those scriptures and claiming healing in our lives. It's going to be an amazing day starting at 12 Central Time. All you have to do is click on any device or computer, but I would urge women to grab a friend, at least one, find a location, because the whole point is to come together in prayer in one united heart. As you know, there's a lot of things we don't agree on. Christians don't agree on a lot of things. I know that your show, you know that. But we agree on the power of prayer in Jesus' name. And that's what we're lifting up tomorrow.
Well, I think this is terrific. Diane, thank you for letting us know about this. And we're going to promote it on all of our platforms. And we would love to have you back on the show sometime.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I'll come back and tell you how it went and what we're doing next year. So thank you for having me.
What? Absolutely. All right, Diane Strack, ladies and gentlemen, it's an incredible ministry. Ladies, tomorrow, coast to coast, border to porous border, you've got to check out sheLovesOutLoud.org. It is going to be a national event. Can you imagine the power behind all of those ladies on their knees praying? What a great thing that is. All right, folks, we got to wrap it up. Want to say thanks to our great team here, JP, Avery, Caleb. Been a lot of fun. Get out there and have a happy Valentine's Day, folks. And whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend.